how accurate is Talladega Nights to what you do? And I say, every bit, 100%. Always. Sitting there watching an NBA playoff game with Michael, you could tell who he didn't like because someone would shoot. He'd be like, that's a trash motherfucker right there. I'm like, damn, he doesn't like him.
There's families who'd been like, well, I guess that's it for racing. Yeah. And your family is like, fuck school. Yeah,
100%.
After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan, I thought, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at $15 a month. Just ask our very own Josh Zola, whose entire wireless production facility plan lifestyle has been completely revamped and overwhelmed by Mint Mobile savings. To get this new customer offer and your new three-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/bears. That's mintmobile.com/bears. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/bears. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plans. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
We're lucky to have somebody that drives as fast as Bert talks. It's Ryan Blaney, everybody.
Hey. Oh, you got an audience and everything.
You got a whole crowd, nice. Man. You got fans. Yeah, we met at Daytona. First of all, I can't believe so much about Daytona. Number one, I'd never been to a NASCAR event, race, anything. So we did the pre-show. I think we were going to get you on that stage, but it was just so crazy.
It was a busy
over
day.
There. Yeah. That's an understatement. And then when you see like I don't know. I was actually impressed with just like the logistics of how that thing operates.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like just like coordinating us to do our pre-show thing with all the people everywhere. And then they get us back into where you guys have your, not your buses, but like your, you know, like your, it seems like there's trailers.
Yeah,
all the
race trailers and everything.
Yeah, that you guys are like in with your teams. And we walk out with somebody and then we go into another press briefing room where all the drivers are going to be. And then all, like there's VIPs in there and there's a quick interview. And then we go back out onto the, like basically on the track. And you guys are still doing the pre-race stuff. And then they're like, oh, you can meet him right now. I'm like, right before he races? I'm like, my thing was like, I can't believe these guys would talk to anybody before a race.
That's the crazy thing about, you know, our sport, I think, that makes it a little bit different than everyone else or every other sport is, you know, the access to people and fans and stuff like that. It's second to none, I feel like, you know. And
absolutely.
I talked to you guys 10 minutes before I got in the race car.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. And I was like, is this okay? And you're like, yeah, man, hope it's a good day out there.
It's all the
time.
What
the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, I mean, that's just normal for us. And you get really good at like changing your mind up real quick, like getting ready to go race or, you know, going from kind of meet and greet people, stuff like that, to like, all right, let's lock in really fast.
That's a skill. You have to develop that, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah, it's just something to get used to, you know, with time.
Are there some known guys who are just like not talkers? There has to be.
Yeah, there are some guys.
Because I always feel like it's actually, this is my first time experiencing it with NASCAR. I always feel like it's so unjust that it's happened in the last, probably the last 15 plus years, where in football and basketball, halftime, like a team is down and they go, coach, what's going on? Like and the coach has to be like, you know, he just wants to lose his mind. And he has to be like, we're not playing good defense.
Like
and
Greg then, Popovich was the best.
I
loved watching his.
Cause he was straightforward and didn't dress it up at all. He was like, we got to play better.
Yeah.
And he like walked away.
Yeah.
But you get the sense that like, all right, this dude doesn't want to do this. Why are you making him do this?
I will say there are some times I don't want to,
you know, I can imagine,
you know, hey, I just
like when you met us.
No, I enjoyed meeting you guys for sure, obviously. And, you know, there's sometimes though it's like, man, I just want to do my job.
Of course. Know?
And that stuff, you know, meeting people like y'all, you know, that's that stuff's really fun because, you know, if you're fans of each other, you know, I'm big fans of you guys. So that was really cool to, you know, get to shake hands for a little bit beforehand. But, you know, sometimes I think the worst sometimes is like if we're practicing or something, like mm-hmm. just walking to your trailer, like where we all meet and their cars are, to the garage area to get in our car, like just tons and tons of autographs and like just can't see if people, you can't like get to what you're wanting to do.
Yeah.
Which it's like, you know, you're really fortunate to be there, so you can't really bitch about it too much. But at the same time, like, I just want to go do my job, you know?
Yeah,
so,
yeah. I can imagine.
Yeah.
Now, you come from, like, a line, like, your lineage is racers?
Yeah, my dad raced NASCAR from, like, the late 90s to, like, 2013.
It's pretty recent.
Yeah, yeah. He just got out of it, you know, 10 years ago. And my grandpa raced, too.
That's crazy. So,
yeah,
I guess the thing is most families that aren't like yours, the big thing is there's always usually a mom who's like, this is way too dangerous for you to do.
Yeah, fortunately with my mother, you know, she just was around it the whole time.
Yeah, so she had to be game.
Yeah, I mean, when her and she was actually working at a racetrack when her and my dad met back in
You
know, the 80s, yeah. So, you know, so they were already, you know, she knew everything, but obviously I think when you have kids though, you know, it's different, right, for a parent.
Right, yeah.
But it did help that she was around it so much with my dad.
And you were kind of like, I'm imagining, like, there's a period where every kid, at least every boy, I think, kind of wants to do what their dad does, no matter what it is.
Yeah.
But did you, I mean, you probably felt that, right? And then...
It's funny you say that. I always tell that to people. You know, I always just wanted to do what my dad did.
Yeah.
You know, watching him. And because that's what we did every weekend. You know, we would go, I have two sisters, so the five of us would load up and go to the racetrack. And that's what we did every weekend. When
watch
I was
him
younger.
Race?
Yeah, just watch dad race. And then I started when I was nine.
When you were nine, were you doing karts?
Like, yeah. Yeah.
Like, so I've been meeting more and more pro drivers, and like that's the origin for everyone is kart driving, right? Yeah. Like everyone starts like that.
Yeah, that's the easiest access for a young kid, right?
But here's the thing that I'm trying to figure out, because I have not gotten a great answer on this yet. And that is that, so in other sports, like if you go, let's say you go watch kids play soccer. Where kids play basketball. Sometimes you see an outlier where you're like, holy shit. Like this kid is not like the other kid. Like there's a separation in their skill set. Does that exist also in kart driving where you're like, okay, man, like you're just standing out from the pack?
Yeah. Like, yeah, you see that. I've seen, you know, kids, you know, that are super young, and they're just head and shoulders above everybody else. And you're like, that kid's going to be really good.
Was that you then? I mean, you know, you could be honest about it. You must have been.
I don't know. My dad would probably tell you yes.
He probably would.
But, you know, I think it's certain things that the outside person sees that you're like, okay, that's pretty good. I mean, obviously, I thought I was okay. I'm not the most confident person in the world, especially as a kid I wasn't. So I was like, oh, I'm not hot shit or nothing like that.
Yeah.
Obviously, my dad thought I was and was able to let me kind of go through the next steps. But yeah, it's funny now. I, you know, grown up and almost 30, and I, you know, go to the kart track and watch kids. You know, I'm like, that kid's going to be really fucking good.
You can just tell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he already is good, but he's way ahead of everybody else.
Just the way that he's seeing the track, taking corners.
Yeah. Like, it's not only like, okay, can they drive fast and they got speed? Like, how do they race around other people? Do they actually, their race awareness really good? And as a kid, that's hard to find. And speed is one thing to get out of him by his or herself, but then like raceability, that's another step. And if a kid has that at a young age, you're like, that guy's good. He's got to figure it out.
I've been fascinated by doing track days, because I love cars. I've always been I was a little kid that liked, first it was, you know, toy cars. Then it was like, we always had car magazines.
Yeah.
And then as I was able to get into cars and try driving cars, I was like, man, I want to try to improve the skill set. And it's the most fascinating thing, because I think it's something that every dude thinks that they're good at, right?
Right.
Like most guys, they're like, yeah, I can fucking drive.
Yeah.
They're like, I'm a badass. Drive.
Yeah.
You should see me drive.
Yeah.
And then they're just like on a highway and you're like, well, yeah, you're driving, but like,
yeah.
And then you
it's
get
a different form it's of a driving. Little,
yeah. And then you get on a track. And the fascinating thing is how humbling it is when, like, the very first time I did it, you know, I had a guy who had competed quite a bit in the passenger seat, and he's telling you what you're doing wrong, which is almost everything.
Right.
And then when you're done with your lab, he's like, yeah, you suck. And you're like, what? Like, it's so, like, it brings you so, like, down. Yeah. But then you start, like, you know, going over it and over it and trying to improve. And, like, everything from, like, I didn't realize that, I guess, most amateurs, what they do is they break early. Everyone breaks early.
Yeah.
When you're not used to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then when you figure out where to break, you're like, here? And they're like, you're going to be all right if you do it. And the way that you break, the apex where it actually takes place is usually not where your mind thinks so when you haven't done it many times.
Yeah.
Right. And doing that over and over, I don't know, I find it to be like such an exciting, fun thing to improve as a skill set.
Yeah, something you're always getting better at, right? Like every lap, you're like, oh, I made this corner better, you know,
doing
this. Yeah,
then you start timing these laps and you realize, because at your level, you know, an improvement would be shaving like 0.02 seconds off a time.
Yeah, get like a tenth. Yeah, that's a big improvement. Yeah,
that's a big improvement. But when you're really starting, they're like, yo, you dropped 20 seconds off your time. And you're like, oh, wow, that is a big improvement.
Where did you do it at? Where did you do your track?
Well, I've done a few out in California. Yep. You know, I've been out to Willow Springs and I started, I did M School one time out there. I got to drive at Willow Springs. Then I did COTA a few times.
Okay. Yeah.
I could drive Sunday if you want to. Yeah.
If you want to, I might need a reliever.
Oh, yeah, yeah, dude. You have my number.
Okay.
So I've done that. Then there's Harris Hill out here, which is a small track. But like, yeah, and I've done a couple of the other schools. It's just like, it's for me, it's just like the biggest thrill is that at first, you know, you get behind these crazy performance cars, and they are a thrill to drive down the street. They honestly are. Yeah. But when you get them on a track and you realize, oh, that's what these were designed for.
Yeah.
Then it blows your mind.
Yeah, it's just really cool you're getting into it, and you described it really well, you know, of getting better and having the instructor with you and kind of pointing out
the things. It's a game changer.
Yeah, it's nuts, and because you don't know what you don't know, right?
You don't.
It's good to have that person there to kind of help you along. But it's something that's hard to explain to people who just have never done it before, right? Like
I took Bert actually got me a race car for a birthday present. I got him something else, but he got me a spec E46 BMW, right? Which is like just all stripped down 3 series.
Yeah.
That had been in some, that's it right there actually.
Oh, nice.
And so I took it out to Harris Hill and
That's awesome.
That's awesome, dude.
Yeah.
And, dude, I spun out so crazy in this thing.
Yeah.
But the thrill that I'm talking about was that on, you know, I don't know, lap 5, 6, 7, when my back end started to go, I was able to recover.
Yeah.
And I fought the instinct of, your instinct, I think, as when you're learning, is to take your foot off the throttle. And he's like, no, give it throttle so that you keep the tires going. Mm-hmm. And I was able to recover. And he was like, that's what I'm fucking talking. Yeah. So that thrill is, it's just like, I think any other skill set. It's like if you're learning to box and you figure out when to slip a punch and throw across, like those things are, I don't know. You learn those things, I guess, probably in karting is probably when you start figuring that out.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And then every car is different, right? Like as you get older,
that's something that
cars.
I want to ask you about.
Yeah.
Because I've heard so many people like change, you know, you change teams.
Yeah.
Right. And then you get into a new car. I think to like most spectators, you go, it's the same fucking car, man. It looks like just there's different paint on it. But do they really do perform differently?
Well, at the cup level, you know, if like someone changes teams at the NASCAR level, you know, there are little things that are different, but at the end of the day, the cars have to follow the same rules. But like, there might be a different manufacturer, right? It might be a Chevy instead of a Ford or Toyota. So they're not entirely different, but they are different. Every team is.
But you might miss something from a Ford to a like you might be like, ah, this suspension is different.
Every team sets their car up different, right? So each team kind of has a certain way they like to approach the weekends.
Yeah.
And you know, mindsets are different with different people, right? Engineers and stuff like that, but. Yeah, the biggest, you know, starting at 9 when I did and going from carts to like just a bigger car and then another bigger car, that was a big change, you know, because you're a kid, you're still learning, and now you're getting thrown in these bigger cars. You know, I was in a full-size car when I was like 12.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was a big learning curve. I was racing against guys like who were 40.
Full-size car at 12?
Yeah, they're called late models. And, dude, it was
Wait, pull it up.
Awesome.
What's it called?
They're called a super late model.
Super late model. Okay. And you're driving this at 12 years old.
Yeah, that middle one, that 7 right there. Yeah, that's not me, but that's a super late model. Yeah.
And is that
at 12?
Is that legal, or did you? Or were you like a Dominican baseball player?
No.
You're like,
I am
17 years old.
Yeah. No, I was. You could drive those. I think that was the minimum age limit back then.
Seriously?
Yeah.
And there's guys seriously 40 years old racing.
Oh yeah.
Against you?
Yeah. I mean, I grew up with a lot of great guys who, you know,
where are you from? Where was I born
in Ohio, but I grew up in North Carolina.
Where in Carolina?
High Point, North Carolina, a little bit north of Charlotte.
We're like neighbors.
Really? Where you at?
Well, I went to college in Hickory.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I went to the most prestigious university in the country. I went to Lenoir Ryan College. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
They got a great program over there.
Yeah.
Look where you are now.
I know, man. It's crazy.
It's crazy.
By the way, Lenoir Ryan, you should just be sending me shit. I'm definitely your most successful alum. Now.
<I know.
laughs>
And they got free advertisement on this show.
Yeah, man. Come on.
How about that?
You went, so did you go to like High Point High or?
I actually went to high school in Kernersville.
Okay.
Bishop McGinnis, this little private school. And I was actually homeschooled my senior year because it got to be like, you know, hey, we got to, I guess senior year, you can't miss certain days. We're like, well, we're going to miss these days because we're racing.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't work with us. So we're like, okay.
They wouldn't work with you.
Yeah. I'm like, we're going to do online school then.
I love that you actually have a family. Like, see, there's families who'd been like, well, I guess that's it for racing.
Yeah.
And your family is like, fuck school.
Yeah, I know. The online stuff was okay. You know, you could literally look up every answer.
And my roommate was from Randleman.
Yeah, I know Randleman.
And that's where Petty's from.
Yeah.
So he's like, you know, it's so funny because like, I think shout out to Casey, you go to Randleman, there's like a statue of just Petty somewhere in town. And
oh yeah, that's like a Richard Petty shrine.
Yeah. And then like at the Daytona, we're like, hey, that's Richard Petty right there.
Yeah.
All 78 pounds of him just walking around. It's crazy.
Looks great though.
I mean, he looks fucking amazing.
Yeah
there he is. Yeah. Well, that's not it. But
there you are. Yeah.
Yeah. He's just sitting there.
Heck yeah.
He actually looks exactly what I remember seeing him on TV looking like 30 years ago.
He looks the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, he's still out there every single weekend too, which is nuts. Pretty much. I mean, he'll probably come to 85% of the races.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Just like as an ambassador of the sport? Like,
well, he still owns race team.
Oh, he still owns, that's right.
He owns two cars. He got a two-car team, yeah.
Also, we drove by the airport and we saw MJ's plane and we all got super excited. We're
Oh,
man, I wanted to spot him. He had to have been at the race, right?
In Daytona?
In Daytona,
yeah. Yeah, he was there.
God damn it.
He'll come. I've met him a couple times. Super nice guy.
Yeah.
And he's an awesome guy. And it was funny, the first time I met him,
yeah,
we were watching a playoff game tonight together. Uh-huh. So they have Bubba Wallace, a really good friend of mine. He and I grew up together. You know, he drives for Jordan.
Yeah.
And he was like, come over to the bus a couple years ago, and they're watching an NBA playoff game. I forget which one it was. And sitting there watching an NBA playoff game with Michael is the coolest thing, because I would imagine like that's like watching a race with Richard Petty.
Yeah,
right?
sure.
Like the most insight, like what does Michael think about this guy or this guy? And it was the coolest thing. Like you could tell who he didn't like because someone would shoot. He'd be like, that's a trash motherfucker right there. I'm like, damn, he doesn't like him.
Okay. All right. Oh my God,
that was
dude.
Awesome.
Hello, I'm Johnny Knoxville.
And I'm Elna Baker, and we have a new podcast. It's called Pretty Sure I Can Fly.
Yep, we've teamed up with my friends and barmates from Smartless to create a podcast where we talk to folks who have more balls in a bowling alley.
People who accomplished something extraordinary despite people telling them that it couldn't or shouldn't be done.
You'll hear stories about the Air Force doctor who buckled into a 600-mile-per-hour rocket sled and became the fastest man on the planet.
And a man who wrestles alligators and sharks for fun.
Do not do this.
You'll hear about a foul-mouthed moonshiner.
Got a 2-inch dick and a 6-inch tongue and knows how to use both of them.
And an even more foul-mouthed female stunt pilot. We got bull riders.
Balloonists.
Bobsledders.
And big wave surfers. People who lay their balls on an anvil and hand the other fella the hammer.
Okay. I bet you've actually done that, Johnny.
Maybe for sweeps. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It was so cool. And I'm sitting there like a little kid, like, Michael Jordan right
there. He's saying that shit during the game?
Oh, yeah, during the game. God, it was hilarious. It was awesome. Best night of my life.
If there's an auction and that was the prize, I would bid serious money to sit there and let, like, just to hear him go, look at this trash ass motherfucker shoot.
Trash. Motherfucker. It was the coolest thing. It was the coolest thing.
That's the all time. And he's also the all time best trash talker, is what everybody says.
I know. He's still not done talking trash, I guess.
That's amazing.
I haven't played golf with him yet, and I don't know if I want to. Because I'm scared.
You do.
There'd be so much trash talking.
Are you a pretty good golfer?
I'm okay. I'm like an 11 handicap.
Oh, you got to do it.
Yeah.
You got to do it.
Do you play golf?
No, I did. It's one of those things where I got into it right out of, like, when I was in college.
Yeah.
I was playing pretty often. But I also feel like, for me, it's one of those things where I got to the point where I was playing to the, like, I could go, if you were like, you want to go play golf? Where I wouldn't humiliate myself.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay with that. And then once, like, a few years went by, I didn't play golf. I tried to pick up a club again, and it was a disaster.
Yeah.
Slicing and everything.
Right.
But man, you gotta play with him just for the story.
I like to.
Just to hear him tell you what a piece of shit you are.
I know.
At the end be like, you owe me $140,000. And you're like, oh my God.
He'd just break me down and then take all my money, which would be fantastic.
Oh my God, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard some good, I know a couple people who have played with him. And all I'll say is that it's worth playing. You should play.
I know.
You should play, dude. Oof.
I'm gonna have to win a couple races, I guess, if I want.
Oh man, we saw the. Oh yeah, I'll try. I'll come and talk trash for you. That's a good idea.
Oh, yes, you'll be my ace in the hole. So you guys, being comedians, you're really quick witted.
We're quick with it, but I also feel like, here's the thing: you have a certain confidence for talking trash, and I think the moment I were in the presence of Michael Jordan, I'd be like, just. Try better for the next. You'll do better. I would completely melt
down. Just lock
down.
Up.
Yeah, I would lock up.
Oh,
like,
no.
You're the best. And you'd be like, well, you're supposed to talk trash for me, man. Like,
you'd turn around and just start trash talking me.
Yeah, I'd be fuck Ryan, Mike.
Fuck Ryan. Mike, I love you, Mike.
Mike.
You signed my jersey?
Ryan's a piece of shit. Oh, my God. Okay, when you graduate, let's say, from kart racing...
Yeah.
And you go up in a level. Is each level of racing, like, do you have doubt, at least when you enter it? Like, am I going to be good enough for this?
Yeah, I think there always is. Like, you know, I hope I can compete at the next level.
Is it like a notable fear, or you're pretty confident going into it?
I wouldn't say it was a fear. And it was kind of both, right? You're confident going in because you had success at what you were doing.
Yeah.
But then also, you don't know what the next step's going to be like.
Right?
Yeah, like you have no idea the jump in skill level and difficulty of driving this car, especially when you're younger. But sometimes I feel like it was easier when you were younger because you just didn't know anything, right? You were just having fun and stuff like that.
Like ignorance is actually a blessing for that.
Yeah, but I think as you get older and as I got into the NASCAR scene when I was 18. And started driving trucks, lower series, every jump, it's like, I really hope I can compete at this level.
That's what I'm saying. So is that, how notable is this? Like, so to make it like relative to another sport, right? It's like everybody who was like a great college basketball player or a football player, they all go, man, when you get to the NFL or the NBA, they're like, the speed, they always talk about how the speed of the game, and they're like, there's no comparison.
Yeah.
Like, is that, like, when you get to Cup Series, are you like, oh, this is...
huge jump.
Huge
like, from
jump.
Xfinity, which is level down, to the Cup Series, that jump in between is just like college to a professional sport.
That much.
Yeah, I mean, the competitive level of it, the amount of, good athletes that are in it, drivers... Yeah. And the cars are way different, and they've changed a little bit. I'd say like 5 or 6 years ago, the speed difference was so big, going from an Xfinity car to a Cup car, like you were fucking terrified.
Seriously?
They were so fast. I mean, they were 30 miles an hour faster.
The Cup cars.
At the end of the street. Yeah, like we'd go to Michigan, a big 2 mile racetrack, and you'd be running 215 getting in the corner in a Cup car.
God.
Hauling ass. And the Xfinity cars would go 185, something like that.
And that's
so it was a big difference. Like, and sometimes you'd run both on the same weekend.
Yeah.
And so like jumping from car to car, it was just a huge difference. But the level, I think the biggest difference now is just the difficulty in, there's so many good race car drivers at the cup level.
Yeah.
Like I'd say Xfinity, there's like 7 or 8 guys that can win every week. Mm-hmm. And the cup level, there's 25.
They can win every
week.
At
least. Yeah. So that's the toughest part about
it. The skill level is just so high.
And the mistakes are low. Like not many people make mistakes on the cup level. So it's harder to kind of go from the back to the front or something.
Who just, by the way, did somebody just walk across the track?
Yeah.
I just saw that.
It was on SportsCenter.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think I was scrolling on my phone and I was like, the hell is this? Yeah.
So the guy's name's Josh Williams. He was in the Xfinity car at Atlanta.
Yeah.
And they got in a wreck and they tried to repair the car and they didn't repair it enough for the time they had. And so it kind of threw some body panels on the racetrack and they had to throw a caution for it. And I guess NASCAR told him to park it. Like, you know, you're done.
You're done. Like, take this into the pit.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'll leave it at the fucking...
He's like, I'll leave it on the racetrack at the start-finish line. And he just walked back to the pits.
This is so wild. And,
it was the craziest thing I've ever seen.
And it's like... It felt like a movie moment in a way, you know? Like it was kind of a moment where you're like, oh, this feels like this is almost scripted, you know? Like he just like, and I think he waved.
People
were saying like, this is his AB, his Antonio Brown moment, you know, when AB took all his shit off and was like, bye everybody.
I think Antonio Brown like actually tweeted something about this.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my dog.
I did see that famous picture of Antonio Brown, you know, going off the field and someone put like Josh Williams as Antonio Brown.
That's
like his head on Antonio Brown's body.
So this dude just got real in his feelings that Josh did about what was happening.
I guess he didn't think that, I guess he was pissed that NASCAR was parking him. They didn't think it was justified that they were parking him.
And is his punishment just...
They suspended him for one race.
Yeah. I mean, that's bad, but at least they're not like just like ruining his career.
No. Yeah. He'll be fine. Yeah. But yeah, they just suspended him for one race. But I've never seen anything like that.
No, it was pretty cool.
I was sitting in my bus at the racetrack watching it. I just couldn't stop laughing. And I knew it was going to be on every little news outlet thing.
The thing about that is like, that's funnier. Like when AB did it, you were like, oh, it's funny. And then you go, oh, something is...
Yeah.
Not right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like his got way worse, I think.
I think Josh's was, he was just making a little statement.
Yeah.
He was fine. He wasn't injured or anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's pretty hilarious. And he looks like Kenny Powers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is even better.
That's what makes it way better. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like one of the nicest guys you ever meet, too. That he was just over it, I guess.
Yes.
But.
Waving.
Look at that. There he is. Peace sign right at start finish line.
Amazing.
That's pretty great.
Amazing.
So when are you on the road again? Yeah.
You touring? So I did all of North America, like all the states, Canada. Yeah. I did South America. It's been a long tour, man.
And it was the same tour.
It's all the same tour, yeah. I mean the show, like when you tour for that long, what happens is your show takes like twists and turns. As a progress, because you're doing it for so long, it's like you get to a point where you're kind of tired of doing, like, let's say a chunk of material,
right?
So you naturally drop it and then you naturally replace it. So like if you were looking at the show at the, you know, in August, September 21 to now, you would see like probably a half an hour of different material, because it, so like the big hits kind of stay in there, but the other stuff just kind of moves. So I was actually editing the special, like looking at the cuts, and I was like, oh yeah, because I already forgot some. I was like, I forgot I used to do this bit. It was only a few months ago that I filmed it. But you naturally let things go,
right?
Yeah,
I could figure. Yeah, especially touring that long, right? You want to switch it up.
Yeah, you get bored of it. You get bored of it. And it's the truth is like the only way, because the thrill of being of doing stand up is always new stuff. Like new is like the dope.
Yeah,
you know, so. But the only way you get new stuff is to let go of stuff. You know what I mean?
You can't just add it, because then your time is way
longer.
Right?
You end up, you can do that, and then sometimes you're up there like 80 minutes, 90 minutes, and you're like, you can just sense that it's too long.
Yeah.
So you reduce it, like you go, I'm just going to stop doing this bit, and then you fill something else in, and it just kind of goes like that. And that's the exciting part, is just doing new shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah, I've always been curious about, you know, the comedian kind of grind, because I, from what I know, it is a fucking grind. Especially, grind. Yeah, obviously getting going. I mean, everything's tough getting going, right? But like,
totally, yeah.
You guys travel a bunch.
I think that's the one thing that like athletes and entertainers have in common, is we all know the grind of travel.
Yeah.
That like, you know, you got to go to the next city. It's like, for us, like if you don't get on that plane and go to the next day, there's no show.
Right.
And if you don't go to that next race, like, yeah, you just, well, then you're not part of the race, man. Yeah. So like, yeah, there is no, you just have to like accept it. That's the thing, is you embrace it and you go, yeah, I travel for a living.
Yeah.
You
know?
Yeah.
Get to go to a lot of places.
And you get to a lot of places, but I don't know if this is the same thing for you. Like every time I go somewhere, they're like, oh, you're going to Chicago. You got to go see that, you know, museum exhibit. And you're like, yeah, I don't fucking think so.
I get the same. Yeah,
and like, they're like, why not? I'm like, because I'll be tired.
Yeah.
Because I just got in.
Yeah.
So I just did 15 other cities.
Right.
And like, and it's not that I mean, look, I like museums. And it's just that I'm like, I don't think you understand sometimes that all we're trying to do is have the energy to do the thing we were going to that city for.
Yeah.
Like, you're just trying to like, I just got to be ready to race.
Yeah.
And like, we're just trying to conserve enough energy to get on stage and do those shows.
Yeah, it's funny, when I was younger, you know, kind of just started out on the Cup side in like 2016, I think was my first full year. And I was 23. And I used to love going, like, we'd go to wherever, whatever race, whatever, you know, town, Kansas City. I'd like to go out and kind of see stuff,
yeah,
right? You had all the energy to stuff. And then you were good to go the next morning, right? To go practice or race or something like that. I would never go out before the night of a race, but as I've gotten older, I just really love sitting in my motorhome. And like me and my girlfriend would go eat, but like, it's not very often we'll like go out to eat at the racetrack, just because I just want to be in my little cocoon and don't want to do anything.
And that's a really good sign.
Yeah.
That's a healthy disposition.
Yeah.
And I think it'll only increase as you get older.
Yeah.
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 As you get older, you're just like, let's just stay in this room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like going anywhere.
Yeah.
It's perfect. It's the best.
Yeah. Yeah. And then like, you're going to get more known and you'll retreat into a smaller, but yeah.
Yeah.
You'll build a bigger wall around your compound. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. I mean, it's just the nature of how things go. I mean, also it's like, look, either you want peace and some type of like tranquility in your life, or you don't. For people that don't, then they go out and they pursue that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they're just like, my enjoyment is in being in all of that excitement. And then some people go like, I'm fine without it.
You know?
Like my co-host pursues those moments.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, of course. Dude, you know what Bert fucking does? This is how, so I'm the guy that goes, good night, thank you for coming out. And then I go to my room.
Yeah.
And he's like, what do? You just like shut your eyes? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. You just shut your
eyes. He's like, you just like order something to eat and like watch TV and like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He from the stage is like, we're going to be at Mickey's Bar over on the corner of 4th and Main. Like, tells an audience where he's going.
Oh, whoa.
And then goes to party with them. Yeah. Some real Ricky Bobby shit. Right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Wow.
By the way, are all you guys fans of Talladega Nights? Is that like.
I personally like that movie.
It's fun, right?
It is a very funny movie. I love it. Some guys get offended by it.
I was like, going to ask that. Do they really?
I don't give a shit.
They're mocking us?
Yeah, they're like, they're mocking. I'm like, it's supposed to do that. Like, it's a movie.
It's Will a funny Ferrell movie.
Yeah. I don't get it, but I love that movie.
I mean, and they had to have done it in, because it's all this licensing. They must have partnered with NASCAR to do it.
Yeah,
right?
So they did, that was kind of a little bit before I was kind of in it when they were filming that. That was in 06.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so that was before me, but yeah, I do know, like, yeah, they were at the racetracks and filming stuff and yeah, doing all that stuff. But I love that movie.
There are some people that are offended by that.
Yeah, some guys are like, oh, it's a stupid movie, making fun of us. I'm like, yeah, it's funny.
It's funny,
They're not trying to hurt us. I don't think that's what people, you know, some people don't get that about like comedy and stuff. Like,
yeah, I mean.
You're just trying to have fun.
Like, I also feel like there is something about somebody doing an impression of you is actually, it is an honor. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that, they have to like you to do it well. That's the truth. So
I know.
They have to respect you to do it well. If it's done poorly, then it usually doesn't work. And that means that, you know, that, that you can sense when it's done maliciously.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, you know? Of course.
Yeah.
And people ask me all the time, like, you know, fans who've never been to a race or something like that, they're like, how accurate is Talladega Nights to what you do? And I say, every bit, 100%. Always. I'm like, Talladega Nights, just like what we do.
Yeah.
Like, dude, really? I'm like, yeah, dude. Totally.
By the way, speaking of Bert, when we were at the Daytona 500, dude, he was as popular as you guys.
Yeah?
Fuck yes. Like, I felt like I was his handler. And like, first of all, he was shirtless. So everyone was like, who's the fuck?
Oh, did he take his shirt off?
Yeah.
Was he shirtless when I met y'all?
No, I told him. Like, okay, have some respect for the drivers.
But the race started, he took his shirt off.
Oh yeah. He was in full Burt mode. But like, they're driving us around on a cart. His shirt's like tucked into his pants.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got his beer, and people were just like, "What?" Like, just fucking going crazy. Yeah.
Do you think they would have had that reaction if his shirt was on? Do you think they recognized him more with his shirt off?
Definitely more with the shirt off. Yeah. And I told it on a podcast that almost 1,000 people, because once we were like down on the track walking around, he had a shirt on. Almost 1,000 people walked up to us, and they all said the same thing: "I don't recognize you with your shirt on, man." Like they.
Oh,
all,
really?
Yeah.
No,
I don't recognize you with your shirt on, man. Everybody said he was like, and then you just like pull it up for them. Yeah.
Well, like when I walked up to y'all on the grid, you were just standing in the grass like by yourself. Like, yeah. No one was around you. I was like, damn, they kind of went unrecognized.
No, they planted us there for you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We were moving all around and we were checking out cars and talking to people.
Yeah.
And then they were like, Ryan's going to be back in a minute. Wait right here.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. So I didn't know that. It was all staged.
Yeah, yeah. No. We just waited. But we met Jeff Gordon, which was crazy.
Nice.
That's also another crazy thing. It's like kind of like meeting Jordan. You're like, no shit. Yeah. We're going to meet Jeff Gordon right now? Yeah. And I had on, somebody had, before I went out to our event, like we had that live pre-show event.
Mm-hmm.
And I got this bald ass head. I was like, can you give me a hat? Like, can somebody give me a hat? So somebody at NASCAR just gave me, I think it was a Bubba Wallace hat.
There you go.
And I put it on. And Jeff was like, cool hat. And I was like,
how dare you, man?
I was like, oh, sorry. He was like, no, it's good. He's like, I can get you another hat if you want. And I was like, it's all good. I don't know. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Give me a hat, man. But I like that he was still talking shit, you know?
No, he is that way. He's a good guy. And he's been fun to get to know pretty good. He's still like, I mean, way in it. I mean, he's
way in it.
Oh, way into the.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, he's a big part of Hendrick. But.
Yeah, he was telling, he's like, you ever been to this before? And I was like, no. He's like, this, he goes, you might not want to go to another race.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, you chose the most popular race to be your first one.
That was pretty, I'm telling you, dude, that I had no idea the scale and scope. I think when you see these things on, everything's different on television than, you know, I've been to all types of sporting events. I just went to the Australian Open, you know, I saw the finals and you're like, holy, like you watch that in person, you're like, oh my God. Like,
yeah.
It's just, everything is different in person. But the thing about that you cannot duplicate on television is A, looking up into those stands at Daytona, you're like, what the
hell?
It's like a city of people.
Yeah, it's a bunch of people.
Are there.
Yeah.
You definitely cannot mimic the sounds.
Yeah.
The sounds are just like.
Sounds and smells are crazy at the racetrack. Yeah.
And then seeing how close you guys drive to each other at those rates of speed is like, it's beyond. Dude, that pre-show, the F-16 fighter jets flying overhead.
That was crazy, wasn't it?
Yeah, I almost ruptured my eardrum multiple times. Yeah.
They were low. Like they flew over. I was like, that was pretty low. They've never been that low before.
That's pretty low.
Yeah.
And also, you're like, oh, they're gone now. And then they're like, they come back. You're like, oh my God. Yeah.
Like, it scared me.
All we just kept thinking about was just like, you know, poor Afghani children just looking at like, what is that in the distance? And you're like, oh fuck. Oh no. This isn't a show, is it? Like, no. Oh my God.
Oh my goodness.
Those are something.
You have
else.
No idea what happened.
Just and then no idea. Just like, hi. So this is what I was talking about. Yeah.
Anyways,
all you guys are lean. You guys are all lean machines, man. Look how lean you are. Are you working out all the time?
Yeah.
Is being fit is super important?
You know, I think it's like a different kind of fit, right? Like we're up, like all of us, or none of us are really like big, right? You know, we're all fairly short, skinny, lean. Like you don't see a bunch of us like buff, right? Yeah, because you don't really need to be.
And, you don't need to be.
It's a different, different kind of requirement for what we do. Like we do a lot of like, when we're in the car, it's a lot of like shoulders and core and like heart rate stuff. And that's
are you working on keeping your heart rate down? Is that something? Or just your cardio in general?
Kind of the cardio in general. And then like one thing that I do a lot is like, you know, your heart rate isn't up like the whole race, right? Like there's moments you get excited and there's moments that are, you know, has a lot on the line. And it's like, and the cars are hot too, right? They're like 130 degrees in there. So they get warm.
You have those like those foot covers, right? Like those are
little
crazy
booties, we call them,
to keep your feet from burning.
Yeah,
fuck.
Yeah, that helps out a little bit. Yeah, but we do a lot of training. Like, okay, heart rate's up. I'm really tired. I'm really hot. Like, can you focus on what you're doing? So like, I do a lot of training like that. Like, kick my ass on a workout, get me really tired, and now it's like, all right, we're doing a drill to like focus on another task while you're like struggling.
And that's what you, because how long is an average
race? 3 to 4 hours.
That's a long time, dude.
Yeah.
That's a really long time.
Yeah. They're pretty long. We have one 600 mile race in Charlotte. That's the longest one. But then yes, most of them are 400 or 500 miles.
Yeah. Because the whole thing about that is not just your skill set and, you know, obviously hoping the car is operating well, but like staying focused, because minds can drift. I mean, that's what happens to...
Yeah, that's the biggest... We not only do like physical training, like mental training too, right? Like I think you get just as mentally tired as physically tired in those things.
Oh my God.
Just trying to concentrate, especially at like Daytona.
Yeah.
There's so much going on because you're, you know, so close to each other and you're like have 1,000 thoughts a second, right? Like,
yeah.
You're always trying to make decisions and a lot of times you can't think, you're just kind of acting. Reacting because a lot of times if you like something's happening, let me think about it. I missed the move, right? Yeah. Like you missed your opportunity to do something and go forward. So, yeah, it's mentally exhausting. It can be, and some tracks are worse than others as far as like after Daytona, you're mentally exhausted just because there's so much shit going on. You know, other racetracks aren't maybe as mentally exhausting, but yeah, they're all unique.
Is that like, is your typical post race, you know, time just chilling? Like, are you just like, I'm done?
Yeah. I mean, we fly home right after the races. So,
like
this weekend we'll get done racing COTA Sunday and we fly right back to North Carolina.
You do.
And, so yeah, it's like that night is like a really good, like decompress.
And you sleep well after a race? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, sleep pretty good. I have no problem falling asleep.
That's great.
So that part's nice.
And then what is like what's a general training, you know, like a, look like going up to a race? Like, are you on a track every day? You know, I know that you go to the city of the race and you guys have your qualify and all that, but I'm saying like before you get to that city, are you on a track all the time?
No. So we, not at all. Like during the whole week, we're not allowed to test anywhere. So we don't like practice in a car, other than, you know, well, like today we have practice at COTA, but I wasn't in a car all week. So, we used to do that stuff every now and then. It's tough to get, you know, if you're going to go practice, you want to go practice at the tracks you're racing at.
Sure.
And then I think a handful of years ago, NASCAR kind of canceled that, like trying to cut costs down for all the teams, not allowed to go test anywhere. So that kind of put a big, that kind of really sucked on not being able to test. But now, gosh, technology is so good. We have like simulators.
I was going to say, are you big on the simulators?
Yeah, I do them before like road courses. So like before COTA this weekend, did it yesterday.
You did. Are they pretty great? I mean, I've sat on them before, but for you guys, are they great?
Yeah. So each manufacturer has their own like simulator facility, and Ford has like, hell, they have three now, and it's their new one. It's just a big silo room with all these cameras that are like 360 degrees, and you're in a full motion like half race car, and they're actually really good. They're a good tool to use, I think.
Yeah. I mean,
especially now.
I know that some, like a lot of the F1 guys are big on those.
It's the same thing.
And I was thinking, because when I talking about like your size and everything, I had Daniel Ricciardo on, and he was telling me for them, for F1, he said like any, like for anything over like 160 pounds, he's like, they consider that you're starting to give up time.
Yeah.
So almost all those guys are around that weight or less.
Yeah. I'd say we're fairly similar. We have some guys that are over that.
Yeah.
160. Yeah, we have a good amount of guys over that, I think.
Yeah.
Like I walk around at, like in the wintertime, I walk around at like 150, but then like during the season, I'm sub one. I'm like 142, damn. 143.
But that's, yeah. But your walk around, if you weren't trying, would be in like that 150 range anyway.
Yeah. Like when, like, I don't really train a lot in the off season.
Yeah.
Like the 3 months we get off, 2.5 months yeah. we get off, I just like eat a lot and don't yeah. do a lot. Yeah. So, I gain a little bit, but I get it off really fast. Cause like the way they weigh us, like the cars have to weigh a certain amount with the driver, like mm-hmm. 3350. And so when they go through like scales each week, the drivers aren't sitting in the car. So they weigh the drivers every year,
yeah.
you know, to see like I'm 140. So yeah. the car has to weigh X without me
without
in it,
you in it,
yeah. you know? So there used to be a lot of games going on. Like I weighed in a few years, like 175.
You did?
Because you'd go weigh in, you'd have your suit on and like you'd strap a bunch of weight to you.
You would?
Oh yeah.
Oh wow.
So your car would weigh less. Your car would weigh like 20 pounds less. But
every little trick.
Some people caught on to that, and now we like weigh in our underwear, so you can't cheat it. So, yeah. So, unless you like have anal beads or something,
sure.
then you can't do that.
You can do that, yeah. Yeah, you can put really.
I don't want to win that bad. I don't think
really
I can do
heavy
that.
Really heavy anal beads in there.
Yeah.
So if I lose like another 50 pounds, I could race with you.
I was about to say, I need to go out there when you're in your race car.
Dude, that would
maybe
be
go out there with you.
I would love
give you
that.
Some point, give yes. you some pointers, and then we'll swap, and you can kind of see me do it.
Yes,
and
would
I
you
think
do that?
That'd be great. Oh yeah, of course,
dude. I would love.
That'd be a lot of fun.
I would love to do that. I got some other cars that we could take out. I would love to see you rip up in some. Let me ask you. This is one thing I wanted to know. If we all got into, forget like a NASCAR shit, like Cup cars, but if we got into the same, I don't know. Let's say it's like a general performance car, like a Corvette or something, right? And we all took laps in it. How much faster would a pro driver run a lap, let's say at Coda, than
compared to like you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like if you and I got in the same car,
we got in the same
and we
car.
We went to Coda.
It's the same car.
Yeah.
Is it? I mean, I obviously know that you're professional and that you're better. Does that look like 10 seconds? Does it look like 30 seconds? Does it look like...
I would say around Coda, it's pretty big. So there's a lot of time to be lost at bigger tracks, right?
Right, right.
I'd say out of the gate, like first runs of the day, I'd say you'd be 20 seconds off.
20 seconds.
Yeah, and I think you could, by the end of the day, I think you could probably get to maybe 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe even less than that.
Okay.
Yeah. But that's a big...
That's a huge...
It's a big racetrack.
Well, that's the thing. But it's also... It's a big racetrack, but it's also for... Like, 10 seconds is a lot. It's a lot of time.
Yeah. Yeah. But there's... I mean, that racetrack's like 3.5 miles long. You know? So, at least somewhere around there. So, that's a lot it's of a, time. 10 seconds isn't that much around there.
Right.
You know, that thing's 21 corners. That's, you know, a second... A half a second a corner, right? That adds up really, really quick. But, like, if we went to Daytona...
Yeah.
You could drive my Cup car at Daytona.
Really?
By yourself.
How?
You're wide open. You just push it all the way to the floor. And the racetrack's so big. There's so much banking. You can go around there by yourself in one of our cars.
And the big thing about that someone not used to doing that would do is that they go too slow, right?
So like, they would be nervous and they would lift.
And then, And when you lift...
You go slower.
Yeah. But not just that, but like the car, like you want speed to carry you through these.
Yeah, it'll carry you through the banking and stuff like that. Yeah. But yeah, you could do Daytona. You just pulled it wide open. But the hard part is when you got 40 other guys out there running inches apart, that's the tough part.
That seems like to be the tough part. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What would you be doing if you weren't racing, you think? Do you ever think about that?
I get that question a lot. And
I mean, I know you wouldn't have this girlfriend, but like, what would you be?
Definitely
would.
Like, yeah, I definitely would not.
You'd be at fucking Jiffy Lube with her kid out of here. Yeah, so.
I really don't know, man. Like I said, I got asked that question a lot, and I like only raced. I did other sports.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that like, you don't. Your experience in life is so unique.
Yeah, I just born into it.
Yeah.
I born up, grew up around it, and like that's all I knew.
And you also don't have that thing like, you don't totally relate to people who are like, oh, you know how in high school we all have our summer job at like, you know, the ice cream shop. You're like, no, I was racing.
No, I had another job. Yeah.
And then when they're like, oh, I had this one job, or like, it's just racing for you.
Yeah, it was so, it's just part of my life. Like, you know, when I started going to school and like making friends and like going over to friends' houses, like I didn't know that not being a race car driver was a profession. Like I'd go meet their parents. I'm like, you know, I was young, right?
Like, you're like
8 or 9 years old, right? And they're like, oh, your dad's a banker. Your mom's a lawyer. Like I did not know other jobs were out there.
That's hilarious.
Clue. Just because that's
well,
all
yeah, because
I was
even your mom
in.
Met your dad on the track.
Yeah. So that's. That's all I ever did. I played basketball and baseball and stuff like that growing up. But
well, the truth is, you'd probably be somewhere in the autumn. You'd be in cars somewhere.
Yeah.
Like if you didn't have what it took to compete,
yeah,
you'd probably be.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, I'd be doing something automotive wise, some kind of. I would have tried to go, like, if the NASCAR thing didn't work out, I would have tried to go another series of racing, you know, go.
Yeah.
Go. Back to, you know, those super late model short tracks or like dirt racing or something like that.
Well, a lot of the guys that I meet that, that, you know, coach amateur people on these racetracks, they compete at lower level race stuff all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know, your guy, your track day.
Yeah.
That, he's probably a racer too, a road racer.
No, he is. Yeah. Yeah. And everyone that I've met at those, like they are obsessed, like they're in love with it the way you are.
Mm-hmm.
They don't compete at your level, but they still compete.
Yeah,
because their whole thing is like, I got to be racing.
Yeah, that's the thing. I feel like sometimes gets overlooked. Like there's so many forms of racing out there besides NASCAR, or even the big ones like NASCAR, F1, IndyCar. There's so many different forms out there. Short track, you know, stuff, road racing stuff. Like it's everywhere, and there's a lot of people that do it. A lot of you know, men and women that compete every single weekend. That you know, just short track stuff.
Yeah.
And so.
No, I just met, I mean, I was talking to a producer who you know, Hollywood guy, you wouldn't make any assumption about what kind of car driving he's into. And then like through our conversation, he's like, oh yeah, I race in those GT3 cup races. And
really?
I was like, what?
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
And he was like, yeah, you should get one. I was like, oh, okay. Sure. So yeah, but I mean like, it's very kind of under the radar in a way where if you don't have that conversation with someone, you're not probably going to find out, but a lot of people are doing it.
Oh yeah.
What is, okay. How about off track, meaning off your professional track? What about private cars? Like what's fun for you to drive? That's
So I don't really own many fast cars.
No,
I don't drive very fast on the road. Like everyone always thinks like, oh, you race car driver, you must be a speed demon on the roads. I'm like, no, like it's actually the opposite.
I get my thrills on the.
Like I get paid.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of money to go really fast.
Yeah.
And it's encouraged. And like, if I do the same on a road, like I'm going to jail.
Sure.
So it's like the benefits are not
there.
So
you actually follow the law.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm a very slow driver. My girlfriend gets so pissed because I'm so slow.
That is hilarious.
I just have nowhere to be. Yeah. She is the speed demon on the road.
Seriously?
Oh, yeah. Oh, dude, it's crazy. Quick story about that. I was falling asleep somewhere. We were down in Florida. She's driving. And I'm kind of dozing off. And you know, you're in like that in-between stage of like awake, where you're sleeping, but your eyes are closed. And I'm like, I get the sensation. I'm like, I feel like we're going really fast. Like something, we're have a lot of speed. I looked over and we're going like 97 down the highway. I'm like, but I look over, I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? Where are we gotta be? We have nowhere to be. And she's like, oh, sorry, I was just passing somebody. I'm like, you've been going 97 for like miles.
But, what were you in? What were you driving 97?
Kia? We were in her Kia. Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, you fucking psycho. What are you doing?
I know.
That thing's gonna fall apart.
Maxed out. But no, I have my favorite car, I have an 85 Bronco.
Nice.
I love Broncos.
Yeah.
I have a new one, new Bronco as well. Got an 88 F-150. I love like mid to late 80s, you know, style.
You're a proper Carolina kid, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And gosh, what else do I got?
What's the wildest shit you've driven that is not a, you know, I'm saying
like a race car?
Right, right. Like that's a street car. Have you ever driven something where you're like, oh my God? Because I'll tell you mine in a second.
I drove, gosh, what did I drive? I can't think of one right now. Tell me yours.
I've been very fortunate to be able to drive, experience a lot of cars. Like, you know, got behind a ton of Porsches, a good number of Ferraris, good number of McLarens, and they were press cars. Some of them were press cars, so they were lending them to me for a couple.
Yeah.
Dude. And I thought, I was like, you know, what happens is they all start to feel like, oh yeah, this one's fast too. Like they kind of all feel similar.
Yeah.
And then McLaren let me have the 765 LT for a couple days.
Yeah.
That was...
That's another level, huh?
That was the fucking stupidest thing I've ever driven. And to the point where I was like, I'm going to die in this for sure. Like, I thought I was going to definitely die in it.
755 horsepower.
But it's also light and it's nimble and it's too quick.
McLaren makes super nice cars, especially obviously that one, but...
It was... Yeah. And the you know, the 720S is more, you see it more, and it drives amazing, and it's lightning fast. This felt like it was, like, just levels beyond it.
Yeah.
Where I was, you know, you're going 70, and you just give it a little bit of throttle, and you're at 185. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, it was just terrifying, where I wanted to give it back, but also I wanted to keep it. You know what I mean? Where I was like, this is so dangerous, but it's so thrilling. It's like a fresh bag of cocaine. You're like, I want this, but I know it's bad for me.
You know?
Yeah. It was.
That's, I mean, I haven't driven anything that nice, you know, as a street car or that quick, I'd say. I drove, the craziest thing I ever drove, well, it's not a race car, it's a prototype. Ford is coming out with all their electric battery powered stuff.
Yes.
And they had a project where they made 1,000 horsepower, like Ford Mach-E Mustang, 1,000 four wheel drive, 1,000 horsepower. And we drove it around, you know, some road course one day. This is the craziest thing I've ever driven.
Yeah.
Like not only 1,000 horsepower, but like four wheel drive, like
electric,
you're going anywhere you want. Yeah.
It's so stupid.
It was crazy. It was pretty wild.
I got into the Porsche makes a Taycan, which is their electric car.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a Taycan Turbo S, which of course that's a marketing term. There's no turbos in an electric car.
Yeah.
But when I was on the track, the guy goes, "Hey, put your head back on the headrest." And I was like, "Huh?" He goes, "You're gonna want to put your head back on there if you're gonna floor it." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And it was like one of those things. He walked away, and I was like, "Whatever." I just didn't listen. And I just floored. I went, "Hell!" Like, I mean. It was like someone took a rope to the back of my head and yanked it. I was like, holy shit. Jeez, I also don't understand, you know, this evolution of speed has happened so quickly.
Yeah.
And you go, okay, 20 years from now, what? What are we in? What's the speed going to be then? Because
I don't know.
These electric ones are getting close to 0 to 60 in just over a second.
Yeah, the electric stuff is wild to me. You know, and how fast this progressed, you know, just in the last handful of years, even. You know, like you look at, you know, engine cars and, you know, yeah, okay, they've gotten a little bit more efficient, you know, yada yada, but shit, you had a car that could go 200 miles an hour, you know, 50 years ago,
right?
You know, and they'll go a little faster now, right? Like Bugatti will go like 230 or whatever, but the electric stuff is just crazy how quick it is, and that stuff's just going to keep getting better and better, right?
But, like the leaps of quickness. Like I remember, you know, if you remember like in the 90s, you know, they had like a 911 turbo and they're like, this thing goes 0 to 60 in 5.8 seconds. And you're like, wow, that's so fast. And then now we're at sub 2 seconds on cars.
Yeah.
It's like,
it's wild.
It almost feels like you should, there's gotta be a point where they go, okay, you have to pass a few tests before you're allowed to take this.
There are some cars out there where I'm like, no, not everyone should be able to buy that.
Yeah.
Well, everybody, the people who can afford it,
right?
These $2-3 million cars, like that are so stupid fast. Like,
yeah,
You shouldn't be. You should have to actually pass like a test.
Some type of driving test, right?
Thing. Yeah.
Otherwise, it's like some giving someone like, hey, here's like a rocket launcher. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Like, just press the button.
Yeah.
See if you like it.
Someone who has like, who's like been to the gun range.
Yeah.
But like you give them an RPG and you're like, here you go.
Yeah. Yeah. I know I've shot a 38 before. Yeah, I'm good. Yeah. You're like, I don't know, man. I don't know if you really are good.
Yeah.
I think everyone else is not good.
Yeah.
With you.
Yeah. You're going to be fine.
Yeah. You're going to be just fine, dude. Wait, so what's up? I heard, are you a big Star Wars fan?
Yeah. Huge.
Huge Star Wars
yeah.
fan.
Yeah.
That's always very exciting to me. What do you have? What, are you tapping something there? Is that?
No.
I thought you were like, this is my Star Wars.
Oh, no. Arm. No, I'm just.
Okay.
Sorry.
No. I thought you were going to be like.
I have some on my leg. Tattoos. Star Wars tattoos on my leg. Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Did you start in, like, did you start with A New Hope? Did you start in the.
No. So, you know, I was born in 93. So, wow. Like, I made my mom take me to the theater to see Phantom Menace in 99. Okay.
So that's your first one.
It's my first one I saw. Just kind of the era I grew up in.
Sure.
Right. So I saw 1, 2, 3. And then I saw 4, 5, 6.
Okay.
Just the way it was.
What did you think of, what's the experience like seeing in that order? Because I don't think I've actually spoken to somebody that sees them in that order.
Yeah, so it was obviously different, like, but no, I didn't mind it one bit. Like,
did you enjoy the old ones?
I loved them.
Yeah?
Like, Empire is my favorite. Yeah. But like, it's a like Phantom Menace is a close second because it's the first one I ever saw.
Sure, it's always going to be.
And it was like, that's what got me into it. So.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, Phantom Menace, you like Jar Jar Binks? I'm like, well, I don't really give a shit, but like, I just liked it because it was the first one I saw.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So,
to me.
But yeah, it was definitely weird. I begged my mom to see number one. She had no idea what the hell it was.
Like, really?
Like, yeah, my parents weren't big. They had no clue what it was about. But yeah, it was pretty cool. And then my uncle showed me. He was like, oh, if you like Star Wars movies, huh? Like, my mom's brother was, she told him, like, oh, I took him to go see all the Star Wars. We're like, all right, well, I'm going to go show him the older movies now, you know, the originals.
Those are,
so
yeah,
it's pretty
those
great.
Those are masterpieces. I mean, it's great storytelling and it's great messages. Have you been watching The Mandalorian?
Yeah.
It's fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, it's great.
I could not, it was one of those things, I was watching it, I think I started watching it when I was getting out of the hospital a couple of years ago, and I was just in bed, and I pulled up, and I was like, oh, I'll just give this a shot, and I was so roped into that. I couldn't believe how good it was.
Yeah, and I haven't seen a couple episodes of season 3 yet, but yeah, I think it's fantastic.
Right, because the new season just dropped, like, right?
Yeah.
I haven't jumped into the new season yet.
It's kind of hit and miss, like, you know.
Yeah.
Mandalorian's good. Like, Obi-Wan wasn't very good, I didn't think.
Yeah, I don't always watch all these spinoff things.
Yeah.
But this one, I just happened to click on, and I was really impressed with it.
Yeah.
Really impressed.
What were you, I saw you, yeah, you went to the hospital for.
I broke my arm.
Yeah, basketball.
Yeah. And
deal?
And leg, yeah.
Just and
trying
leg?
To jump, yeah.
Just well, trying to jump.
I tore my,
oh, shit.
Yeah, I tore my patellar tendon, and then I landed on my arm and broke it.
Holy shit!
Yeah, and it ruined my life. So I got into race car driving after that because it seems more safe.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you'll tear those.
Yeah,
tear a tendon.
I mean, I have a Hans device. I'm good, right?
Yeah, yeah. This is all that matters.
This is everything. You know,
The neck up is like all that.
And
cares.
I can still get on stage. Like, how's everybody doing tonight? Still do stand up from my chair. All right. Look, I know you got to get going. You got to practice. You're going to go practice? You're going to run?
Yeah, we got practice here in a few hours.
How many laps will you run in a practice?
So it's only 50 minutes. Okay. So we'll get, you know, the tracks. It takes like 2 minutes and 15 seconds to run a lap. So you don't get many laps.
So, but it's just you'll do continuous laps?
No, we'll probably go out, do a handful, come in and make a change.
Make a change.
You know, try to make a car drive better, something like that. So
what kind of adjustment is made in a change? Like to the car?
Depends. Yeah, to the car. You know, shock springs.
Okay.
You know, ride heights, kind of lowering and raising the car.
And it's a 50-minute cutoff, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So we'll do the, I mean, we can change the spring in a couple minutes. And usually this, like, we'll have a big plan. We'll have a list of what we want to try. You know, there are 2 or 3 changes. So we'll kind of have it like queued up.
Yeah.
Like, hey, we want to try stiffer rear springs. We already have those built, and then you just bolt them on the car when they come in.
Okay.
So it's faster. Yeah.
Dude, it is such a thrill to have you here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I would love, I'm serious. I don't care when it, I would love to go out there one day with you. That'd
we should
be
definitely
so
do that.
Fun.
Yeah.
And I will be there Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great. But yeah, we'll have to, I'd like to, we'll go driving together. That'd be a lot of fun.
Dude.
You're going to be like the best stand-up comedian driver ever.
Dude, please make me your project.
I will.
Okay.
Thanks for having me, man.
Thanks for
having me. I had a lot of fun.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
Bert and Tom, Tom and Bert. One goes topless while the other wears a shirt. Tom tells stories and Bert's the machine. There's not a chance in hell that they'll keep it clean. Here's what we call Two Bears, One Cave. No scripts, a bit of booze, amateur partology. Dirty jokes, raunchy humor, no apologies. Here's what we call Two Bears, One Cave.